Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. So it's August 9th as we sit here and record. We're recording the podcast that's going to go out today a little bit later than usual, but we're covering a topic that I think is hugely important.
Right.
Because today is, today is the start of school for some
this
students.
Week. Yeah. Some schools are starting classes this week.
Right.
Some of the private schools, the charter schools. Mm-hmm. Regular public school, our county school system officially begins on Monday.
Right.
The 20th?
13th.
I'm a week ahead.
Yeah.
But time is strange.
Still.
Einstein was right. You know, time is a flexible concept. Because we're returning from this trip to the Philippines. But some of the schools are going back this week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there was a new there's a change in the wind, as they might say.
Yes. And this came up when my son goes to a charter school.
One of the charter schools.
And we've been receiving emails about how things are going to be different this year and everything. And one of the things that they mention is that as a result of the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School Public Safety Act, which was signed by the governor here in Florida earlier this year, March
mm-hmm.
of this year, there will now be an armed officer at every public school
in the state of Florida.
In the state of Florida.
Right.
And so we thought we would talk a little bit about that, because I think that there's some important implications and important things that we should prepare our students for as we are getting ready for this massive change.
Right. What's overwhelming about it are the numbers.
Right.
Okay. When the tragedy at Parkland, the high school,
right.
Happened last spring, people demanded some sort of action.
Right.
Demanded or expected some sort of response. And
mm-hmm.
so elected officials in our state,
mm-hmm.
elected officials in the state of Florida, spring into action
mm-hmm.
and cobble together process
mm-hmm.
that yeah. promises to protect our children.
Right.
You know, there's we want to make sure that our children are safe at school,
right.
because when these school shootings occur, everybody feels very, very vulnerable.
Right.
You know, that there's almost nothing you can do
mm-hmm.
once a
mm-hmm.
person walks into a school with one of these high powered semi-automatic weapons. There's very little that you can do in the first few minutes.
Right.
And so there is going to be some carnage. And that vulnerability
mm-hmm.
that parents feel for their children, teachers, parents, and the students themselves feel, causes the elected officials to react.
Right.
And they react and they sit down in committees and they hammer out this process
right.
that promises to protect vulnerable
right.
children.
Now, part of the act works to keep guns out of the hands of people that shouldn't have guns, and that's...
Yeah, because when this was being debated,
mm-hmm.
the issue was, do we want to have gun control,
right.
or do we want to protect the
mm-hmm.
children?
Right.
Okay, and so the compromise that was worked out is there are some small gestures about
right.
gun control,
right.
But at the same time, there are gestures of how do we protect the children.
Right.
Okay, so there's a little bit of each
right.
in the bill.
So there's some legal things that are related to gun sales and gun ownership
mm-hmm.
in general. So, for example, now anyone wanting to purchase a gun must be at least 21 years old.
Right.
And there's some
mm-hmm.
Enhanced background check and some of that kind of stuff that they're...
Because apparently the Parkland shooter, was 18
right.
and was able to purchase
yeah.
weapons without parental consent.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So one of the changes was we're going to move the age to 21.
Right.
Okay, so that was one change.
Right.
And the other was about mental illness.
Right.
That if you were Baker acted,
right.
if you have a history of mental illness, that would also prevent you from buying a gun. It prevents you from buying a gun in a store.
Right.
I don't know that it prevents you from buying a gun in other places.
Right, right.
Or somebody else buying a gun for you.
Right.
I remember in Connecticut, Newtown shooting, the mother purchased the weapon for the boy, and that boy was younger. He was 15 or 16.
Yeah.
And so somebody could buy a weapon for you.
Right. Yeah, and of course, recognizing that there's always going to be those types of limitations, it is good that we're moving in a direction that hopefully will make it make the process a little bit more thoughtful as it relates to who's purchasing the guns and how they're getting them. But the other piece
and it puts guns in the same category as alcohol,
right,
or tobacco. Is that we're saying, your older brother, an older sibling, or relative, or friend could go in and buy alcohol and give it to kids.
Mm-hmm.
But at least it raises awareness, to say, maybe they should be 21.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So.
The other big major portion of this act, though, is the $400 million that were attributed to ensuring safe schools.
Right.
And a major part of that, or just under half, about $162 million, is to be used to have a safe school officer at every school, at each school in the state. And these are all sworn law enforcement officers.
An armed guard, essentially.
An armed guard,
These would be people carrying a lethal weapon,
mm-hmm.
will be in every school in the state as of this week. As soon as, if a school opens, there will be an armed guard in the building.
Exactly. Okay. And, in addition, we've talked before about the Guardian program.
That's right.
This act also includes that, which is where individuals in schools, school-based professionals, teachers or coaches or administrators, mm-hmm. who have some background in either the military or law enforcement of some sort, can go through a process, a training process, and then they too will be able to carry weapons on school grounds, though they're concealed, they're secret, so we don't know who they are, so that, again, in the event of a crisis, in addition to the known armed guard that's there, there will be potentially other individuals that are armed.
And knowing that there is an armed guard, this is actually when we always referred to it as the Guardian program, but the full name is Coach Aaron Feiss Guardian program, and he was the coach who sacrificed his own life to help kids at Marjory Stoneman Douglas. We refer to it simply as the Guardian program.
Right.
Apparently, and I don't know this for sure, but it's our understanding that there wouldn't be enough trained officers to put an officer in every school.
Right.
And so it was decided that they would supplement current law enforcement officers with this trained members of the Guardian program.
That's the way it seems.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
And that these are people who have had some experience either in the military or in police work, who know firearms and they know about safety and they know about those kind of procedures, and that they would supplement police officers, law enforcement officers in the school. So it may be that there's sort of a plain clothes, just a plain clothesman, but that every school will now have an armed individual, so that in the event of an active shooter, somebody else in the school might be able to respond.
Right. Yeah, and so there's that piece. There's also the requirement for every school to go through active shooter training. And actually, I don't know if you got the email. I didn't ask you this before we started, but I'll be attending one of those next week.
We'll see. You're a parent.
At one of the colleges that we teach at, Florida Southern, they're requiring, I don't know if you saw that email. By the look on your face, you didn't see that email. It's next Friday. But there's a couple of other days that you can choose too, but it'll be a half-day training on active shooter response and everything. So I'll be going through that next week, and I'll let you guys know what that's all about.
Well, I'm glad to hear that they're doing that, because last spring, when all of this was happening, There were only a handful of schools in even the largest county, Hillsborough County, who had a plan in place that they had practiced. And so, and the teachers were appreciative because many of them said to me, I happened to be working in one of the schools at the time, and the teacher said to me that they would have made all of the classic mistakes had they not had that training. So I'm glad that training is being offered. That'll be helpful if people know what to do in the case of an emergency.
Absolutely. So we'll see what that's about. Now I'll offer a report.
So this law has several components.
Yeah.
One is to, there's a, sort of a bow to gun control. I think it was the age, trying to eliminate those with a mental possibility of mental illness, and also bump stocks.
Right, got rid of those.
I think are illegal now.
Yeah.
And a bump stock, of course.
And there's a, and also a 3-day waiting period for every firearm.
Right.
It used to be 3-day waiting period for certain firearms, but now it's every firearm.
Right. So there's a little bit of gun control in this bill. There's a little bit of protection in this bill, the Guardian program and the officers. And there's also training for active shooters. So there are those three components in this bill. It's going to cost a lot of money.
Right.
And some of the money is probably going to be siphoned off of educational programs to pay for this. We're not going to increase taxes to pay for this. We're going to take money. We're going to rob Peter to pay Paul, essentially, which is what politicians typically do because it's very unpopular to raise people's taxes, even if it's for a good cause. So,
Dr. Marshall's political leanings are coming out.
No, I mean, you know, you do these things. You say, well, we're not going to increase taxes, so the only way to fund it is either to borrow money, which they don't want to do, okay, or you have to take money from someplace else, and someplace else would be. You know, where do you take it from, you know?
I'm with you. I got you.
Don't be nasty.
I'm not being nasty.
So don't get me started on politics.
I know. That's the reason that I said it, because I know that you'll...
I'll rein it in.
You.
No, I'll rein it in.
But there's a few things that we want to talk about as it relates to this, because there are some pretty significant implications to students.
Right.
And this is what I worry about. There are a lot of students who are very anxious about the start of school in general, but also maybe more specifically anxious about their safety at school.
Right.
Now, having an armed guard on campus will relieve the anxiety for some kids, maybe more so the parents, but it will relieve some anxiety for some.
Right. I'm thinking that if a child is anxious about, well, could this... You know, they see all the school shootings and little kids wonder, you know, could it happen in my school? And now the parents at least can say to the children, no, honey, there will be somebody in school to protect you. Okay, so in that regard, some children will be relieved when they hear that there is somebody there to protect them.
Absolutely. Okay. So that'll be good.
Right.
The concern, though, is that there is another large group of students for whom the presence of the armed officer is going to be an ever-present reminder that you're not safe.
That's right. It's a reminder that you're not safe, that we are all at risk all the time.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we have to have this officer here because it could happen at any time.
Right.
And so we have to be mindful of for those students so that we can encourage them and we can, you know, we can help them through some of this anxiety because, you know, it's going to be their day one.
Right.
And it's going to be their, you know, day 100 is going to be there throughout the school year.
Right.
And we have to make sure that these students feel comfortable, feel safe, feel secure. You know, again, and we talked about this right after the Parkland shooting, and that is, our students are safe, you know, by and large. Our students are safe. And I know that it's a little bit anxiety provoking to even say that.
Right.
Because I don't want to minimize anything, and it, you know, the statements of, you know, it could happen at any time, it could happen anywhere. Of course, that is true. However, the probability, the likelihood of anything like that happening is small, and we have to keep in mind that we are preparing for the what if, but in doing so, we are constantly reminding people that there is a what if, and then that's going to increase anxiety and stress by a lot of for a lot of our students.
Right. Yeah, one of the other components of the law that we didn't talk about was the hardening of the environment.
Right.
You know, that this whole idea of, we're going to, because there's also going to be a fence around every school.
Right.
Remember that we talked about that in an earlier podcast.
$99 million to address specific school safety needs.
Right.
So bulletproof gas, glass, metal detector. Bulletproof gas would be cool. Right.
That's good.
That would be interesting. But steel doors, upgraded locks, and all kinds of things on the structure of the school.
Yeah, and they talk about hardening the target, you know, which is to make it more difficult for somebody just to walk into the building. Right. There was a time when my children were young that I could just walk in the building and go into the classroom.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't even have to stop at the office. Mm-hmm. Or you just say, hey, I'm going to my kid's room, and just walk into the school. Now you have to have your picture taken.
Yeah.
One of the things that they're going to funnel people into certain entrances so that they can control the entrance and exits, and there'll probably be cameras around and everything.
Yeah.
But this hardening will also increase stress.
Right.
It's going to be a change, and kids are going to, on the one hand, some kids will feel safer. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, some kids are going to be more anxious because, again, it's a reminder of the danger.
Right.
You know, that's what it's going to do. So you sacrifice a little bit of peace of mind,
right,
for safety.
Yeah, so that's an important aspect of all of this that we have to keep in mind, that we have to hold on to as parents and as mental health professionals who work with kids. Mm-hmm. We have to keep all of this in mind because we are going to have that anxiety. They're going to have that stress, just simply from the presence of these reminders.
Yes. So anxiety is one issue.
Right.
Okay. One of the things that I'm concerned about, different people have raised this issue, when you bring law enforcement into a school building, one of the great lines I saw in somebody's work was, are we outsourcing school discipline?
Mm-hmm.
School discipline used to be the exclusive province of educators, mm-hmm. teachers and administrators.
Right.
We then move school resource officers mm-hmm. into schools. Okay, now we're moving law enforcement officers mm-hmm. into schools. When you have the presence of law enforcement officers in a building, there is a tendency to call them into mm-hmm. disciplinary
right.
situations.
Right.
If you assault a teacher, let's say a student is being restrained.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If that student assaults a teacher has a choice of whether or not they're going to press charges.
Right.
Some teachers do. They say, yes, I'm going to press charges. Other teachers said, no, I don't want to get this student into trouble. I don't want this kid
right.
to have a felony or misdemeanor charges.
Right.
If you assault a police officer, there's that decision is taken away. You now have
mm-hmm.
Battery charges, and it's a felony.
Right.
Right. And so what used to be a school discipline issue now becomes a legal issue.
Right.
And that could lead to a lot of kids getting into serious legal trouble mm-hmm. for what used to be a school discipline issue.
Right.
And that's one of the things I worry about, because if a student gets too unruly or even gets physically aggressive,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be tempting to call this armed guard
right.
into that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And if the student does anything to the armed guard, pushes him, hits him, pushes him away, that's assault.
Right.
That's battery, and that's going to lead to some serious legal trouble.
Right.
So I hope that that's not going
to
happen.
I think it's important to clarify what you mean, because I think it's really important that you don't mean fighting the armed guard.
Mm-mm.
You mean, because battery on a law enforcement officer is just touching a law enforcement
All
officer.
All you have to do is raise your hand and brush their shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Even accidentally.
Right.
You know, just you're defending yourself.
And depending on the nature of the circumstance,
right.
the officer could put that as...
And it's not, they're not going to court and pressing charges. Charges are there,
right.
period.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if for those of you who think that that's a little bit of an exaggeration, I have worked with defendants who have a charge of battery on a law enforcement officer. Because in the midst of being upset about something, the officer's across the room and they go like this and hit a glass that mm-hmm. has milk in it,
right.
and the milk falls and splashes onto the officer,
mm-hmm.
and that was considered battering a law enforcement officer.
Yeah. It was an accident.
It was an accident,
right.
but that's, and certainly in those particular cases, you know, there are a lot of other factors involved. Mm-hmm. But again, the point is that it does not take an intentional, you know, fisticuffs for it to be considered battering a law enforcement officer. And you know, we have to, of course, protect our law enforcement officers, and we have to respect them and all of that. But I worry about situations, especially not just with high school students, but also with elementary school students who really don't fully appreciate. And if they're emotionally dysregulated, mm-hmm. you know, they get upset and they're flailing around and they hit somebody on accident.
Well, I think of kids getting into a fight in the cafeteria. Happens regularly, right?
Yeah.
Boys and girls will get into fights in cafeterias or in the hallways. And when people go in to separate them, they're still swinging, swinging and hitting and screaming and yelling. And it's very easy to accidentally hit an officer or a teacher, you know. And then you're going to have criminal charges. So now you've gone from what used to be a fight in school, now you have some serious life-changing criminal charges against you.
Right.
And I worry a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can say, well, then they shouldn't be fighting in school. Well, kids do fight at school, and sometimes
they have forever.
Some kids are just defending themselves. You know, they finally get tired of a bully picking on them, and they lash out. You know, should that kid have a criminal record?
So we're gonna monitor.
We'll follow this.
We're gonna follow this because this is, you know, this certainly affects all of our students. Doesn't matter what grade you're in.
Now they're gonna be everywhere.
So we'll monitor. We'll keep you up to date with what we learn, and certainly if you hear of anything, if you have any experiences that you'd like to share, you know, write into us, let us know.
For or against.
So all right, well then that is it for today.
What's the date today?
Today's August 9th.
Thursday.
This podcast is going out late.
Going out today.
It's going to go out as soon as I can get it edited.
We might have some things coming up tomorrow and Saturday.
Yeah, we're trying
interesting events happening at the
UN.
At the UN.
It just so happens that one of the people that we met at our conference in the Philippines works through the UN, with the UN, and is involved in an advocacy level for some individuals who have been abused by UN officials. And so we're going to try to get her on the phone on Saturday. Mm-hmm. We're going to post our interview with Mandy. I always hesitate with her last name because
Isn't it Sangren?
Sangira.
That's right. It's another syllable in there.
Yeah.
Mandy Sangira.
We'll post our interview with her from the Philippines on Saturday, but we're trying to get her, figure out if we can get her on the phone to talk a little bit about this case.
She's a passionate advocate for women and children.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Always talking about harmful practices, and she became involved in this big case that's just now hitting the media, within the last couple
today,
of days.
Yesterday or today.
Mm-hmm. And so we're going to try to get her on the phone and talk a little bit about that.
Stay tuned for that, because that will be an interesting interview. This is a very interesting woman with 20-some years of experience doing this kind of work. And she was closely involved in this particular situation that's being reported at the UN today.
Yeah, so. And that may put tomorrow's podcast going out a little bit later than usual as well. We're doing what we can as we're recovering from...
It's a little bit of a... I think we're doing well, though.
I think
We did okay. So. We did a couple of podcasts from an airport in Taiwan.
That's right.
And that was fun. All the orchids in the background. So we're trying to keep up. We may have missed one somewhere along the way.
I don't think so. I think we're okay.
Wednesdays.
No, we got Wednesdays out.
Did we
Wednesdays
get it
was
out?
Your epiphany.
Oh, that was my epiphany.
Yeah, I had an epiphany.
Have you
tweeted anything since then?
I have not. I've looked at it. Now wait a minute. I've opened it up. I've gone through. We got some last night. Okay. Mm-hmm. Some tweets came in. But I don't want to, because you warned me. You said that it makes your life more difficult. If I have a Twitter, it obligates you.
It does.
And I don't want to obligate you. So
I appreciate
I'm going to have it. My daughters are going to give me a tutorial if they can contain their laughter. If they can contain their guffaws of laughter over their father tweeting, they're going to give me a tutorial. So hopefully we'll spare you
good.
The time.
That'd be great.
Okay.
All right. Well, until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.
Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast.
Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We'd be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/thementalbreakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.